Hi everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Femaling, where we talk about the relatable, everyday stuff that us women all experience. Before we get on with today's episode, I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in, and thank you for continually tuning in. If you ever want to get in touch and to put your point of view across about what topics you would like me to talk about, please email me on nicole@nicolegoodman.co.uk. If you are ever interested in any one-to-one coaching, again, use the email that I just said. I'll give it to you once again, nicole@nicolegoodman.co.uk. You can find me on my website, www.nicolegoodman.co.uk. Or you can carry on finding my work on all social media channels. So now on with the show. And today I'm talking to Gemma Frenchman about what having it all looks like. We can sometimes get really caught up and stuck in having to have it all. And we can put quite a lot of pressure on ourselves. So I just wanted to kind of unpick that belief and theory just a little bit into what having it all can really mean for us. And the one thing that really stood out for me in this incredible conversation with Gemma was her words right at the end that say, enough is good enough. Whatever we're doing, enough is good enough. I feel like I've just given you the punchline, but it's a really interesting chat. And if you are struggling at some points with having to have it all or having to do it all, then this conversation will be great for you. Thank you again for tuning in. I always, always welcome your feedback. Please feel free to email me and tell me what you think about all my podcasts or any of my podcasts. And I hope you enjoy this one. I really enjoyed recording it. Hello, Gemma.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. And welcome to Femaling. And thank you so much for joining us and bringing all your lovely opinions and your very best self to the call today.
I'm excited to be here, Nicole. Looking forward to a good chat.
So, guys, let me just introduce Gemma to you. The first thing I will say is that she's a lovely friend of mine, and she is the absolute epitome of how I view the modern woman, which is why I've asked her to be a part of this podcast. I've always admired Gemma for seamlessly doing it all. She runs her own business in strategic business consultancy. She has two kids, aged 10 and 7. She's a wonderful mummy. She runs a home, which probably is the most efficient home in the world. I'm sure she's cringing at everything I'm saying now, but she just has to listen to me. She runs a marriage, let's be honest, that takes a bit of running sometimes, a busy social life, and even found time, I'm not sure when she did this, I think it was at the beginning of this year, correct me if I'm wrong, to run two 10Ks after never having run before. And she does all this with complete authenticity and kindness, and always has a smile on her face and the most wicked sense of humour. So to me, you are the ultimate modern woman. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for the lovely introduction.
So I'm interested to how did it feel to hear you being introduced that way?
Well, I know that with you sitting on my shoulder, I should say how wonderful it was to hear all those amazing things. And objectively, if I listen to that description of a woman, she sounds amazing. So I'm going to say thank you for the lovely introduction. And genuinely, I'd never think about myself being able to do those things. But I guess objectively, yeah, I do. It's all true.
Yeah, it is all true. It's all true. And that's exactly how I see you through my eyes. So it is all true. And you know, the topic today is having it all. And as I look at you as someone who kind of does have it all in terms of what society expects of us, and you seem to enjoy it all, I kind of just want to get, you know, your take on it. Like, how do you manage it all? Or how do you see it?
So I think the first thing to say is, you know, that lovely analogy of a little duck calmly swimming, mooching around the pond. You chuck them a piece of bread and they dip their little head in and nosh it and that's it. And then they calmly swim somewhere else. What you don't see is their little legs pedaling furiously round and round and round just to maintain that calm, serene glide. And genuinely, Nicole, that is what I feel like. And I think it's very important with you to be completely honest. And
thank you.
From day to day, my world works pretty efficiently. I'm a list maker. I'm a doer. I'm a got to get it done now or yesterday person. But underneath, my legs are pedaling like that little duck. And sometimes that feels fine and sometimes it feels exhausting.
I actually love what you're pointing to here, because I think, and this is something I think about quite a lot in terms of what women manage every day now in this modern age, and what we choose to manage and what's available for us to manage, because let's be honest, it wasn't as available when our mums were raising us, or and especially when our grandmothers were raising our parents. They didn't have the choices that we have today. And actually, yes, we have all of these, we are able to have it all, you know, in the inverted commas. By the way, every time I say having it all, I'm physically doing the inverted comma thing. Yeah, air quotes, thank you. Actually, it involves so much juggling. It involves so much juggling to look as if we're doing it in a very serene way.
Mm. It really does. I love the juggling thing. I'm so happy that you mentioned that. So can we talk about jugglers for a second?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's
talk about the best jugglers in the world. The people, men or women, in the best circuses in the world who juggle, I don't know, fires and daggers and dangerous things. And also the ones that just juggle kind of 8 apples and take a bite out of one every time they pass their mouth and never drop them.
Oh, I've got a friend like that. She's wonderful.
The thing about jugglers is that they train. They train for years in their circus schools. They don't just on day one when they're 6 and join the circus, or they've born into a circus family, get given those daggers to juggle with. They start with 2 apples or 2 balls, and they progress slowly through their career. And then they end up being the juggler of all jugglers. And that's that. And we, without wishing to get completely feminist and or anyist or extremist in any way, we are simply expected, or maybe not expected, we simply expect ourselves to pick up not just apples, but really fragile, let's call them objects or elements.
Fire, I love the fire. Let's bring the fire.
And juggle with them successfully with really no practice, no training and no leeway and no margin for error. So the things we're juggling are our careers, our mental health, our children, our relationships. You mentioned managing a relationship, and everything else in between. And we cannot drop those things.
But we do sometimes. I mean, I drop stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So do you drop stuff?
Do I drop? I drop stuff. But I drop stuff and then I hate myself for it because I don't like that feeling. So I try to keep my balls in the air, whichever way I have to bend. You know, sometimes I'm doing kind of a double flip to the side metaphorically to catch something that's gone out of my stratosphere. I think what's really important, and you mentioned choice before, is 50 years ago, women thought choice was a great thing because they'd never had it before. And I actually think choice is a very dangerous thing, because what we end up choosing is everything, or we choose to want everything. Mm-hmm. And actually what we need to do is spin that choice on its head and say, what do you choose not to do? What isn't crucial in my world?
I have this really important question I ask in my coaching, and it's, what do you choose to say yes to? Mm. And what do you choose to say no to? Because when we say yes to stuff, we're also saying no to something. And when we say no to something, we're ultimately saying yes to something else, right? So it's really important to get clear on, and actually I think what you're pointing to is like conscious choice.
Mm. Absolutely. It's very hard when you're somebody like me, like you, who wants to get stuff done, whatever that stuff is. Could be big stuff, could be little stuff, doesn't really matter. It's hard to say no. And I'll bring in my work now into this conversation. My work is all about helping businesses become more efficient by stripping out what's not necessary or too expensive in whether that's in time or money, and rebuilding foundations that are solid and allow that company to take off from that platform and grow, develop and become more profitable with happy people working inside it. And
that doesn't sound remotely like stressful or not much of a responsibility, is it?
Well, there's two brilliant messages which I preach to my clients day in, day out, and I really should listen to more. Which number one is, do what you do best and outsource the rest.
I love that.
So if you're an expert at something.
Can I tell you what came up for me as you said that?
Yeah.
I might have to send my ironing out.
Do it.
So that's brilliant. And I'll just say, well, sorry, but my friend who's a strategic business consultant told me to outsource the stuff I'm not good at.
And it's true, because when you do something like that, first of all, you feel better because you are then not being dragged into something you don't like or aren't good at. You're giving it to someone, you're giving someone else responsibility for it who will do a great job. And it makes space in your life to do what you are good at and do more of it. And
can I ask another question?
Absolutely.
Because I think this is quite enlightening, actually. And if this is something you can apply to your personal life, I mean, this could be life-changing.
Yeah, and that's why I said I really should listen to my own advice. It's harder with personal things, of course, because there's emotions involved. And that's where it's tricky. But I think for some entrepreneurs and business owners, there's emotion there as well, because they're very tied emotionally to their businesses. So yes, we should apply that rule to our home lives or our personal lives, because why shouldn't we cut out the stuff that we don't like or aren't good at to focus on things that give us pleasure? It's a bit like, I guess, cutting out people that don't feel good to us, that don't make us feel good. Why should we keep those people in our lives? Why should we keep on running on a treadmill in a gym if actually we're happier on a bike outdoors for exercise? I think we should.
You know what? I think what drives that a lot is guilt.
Mm. Yeah.
And I kind of felt a little bit uncomfortable saying that because I think we're all governed by guilt to a certain degree. So especially when you said about cutting people out of your life that kind of no longer serve, I mean, there's such immense guilt there every time I think about potentially doing, there's no one in my life at the moment, but generally, you know, it has happened occasionally where I just think, well, I don't serve this person, they don't serve me. So, and also the guilt of, you know, even if I was to outsource my ironing, let's say, on a much lighter note, but the guilt of, oh my God, I should be able to manage this all. Why can't I manage? Why have I got to outsource it when my friend down the road seems to, you know, she's the serene duck and I'm just the one paddling.
So that's brilliant, Nicole. Why should you? Because she's doing it, I should do it. So this is where we have to be really, really careful. So can we go back to the having it all thing?
Yes.
So I really truly believe that anybody, woman or man or child, can have it all, whatever it all is, with the air quotes, but not necessarily all at the same time. And therefore, that's the choice comes back in here. You can have it all, but you must pick and choose what's important to you at different phases and stages of your lives. So I think children are really good at doing that, because when a toddler is bored of crawling, their body somehow reacts to that and teaches them, allows them to teach themselves to walk, because walking has become important to them. And once they've mastered that, running becomes important because they want to run, and therefore they suddenly make that choice. And
but they have limited choices.
They have limited choices, but what is important to them at that time is mastering their next physical challenge, and they do it at the time that is right ready. And some kids walk at 9 months and some kids walk at two. It's when it becomes important to them for their bodies to be able to do that. And I think we should learn from that and try and work out what is important to us. So we have advantages versus toddlers because we have got more developed brains and minds, and we have an abundance of choices that we could make.
Yes, but it's choice.
We can say, okay, well, now in my life, if I have taken a career break, for example, now it might be more important for me to bring work in some way back into my world. And before I take any old job going, I'm going to really sit down and think and choose what elements it needs to have to make me thrive and happy. And
so
I
oh, go on, sorry.
Sorry, Nicole. You know, I never stop when I start talking. I just to go back to the friend down the road who's doing the ironing and it looks like the serene duck. Actually, we have no idea what's happening in her or his world. Really, we don't know how fast those legs are pedaling. We don't know how her mind is spinning. And we must be so careful about looking at other people. Because
it's the comparison gremlin, yeah, I call it.
The comparison, yeah. And you call it guilt, call it pressure. It's toxic. We just don't know. They could be your very best friends, but you don't really know unless they have shared their innermost thoughts about what their life feels like to them. And therefore, it's important to go to ask yourself what's important to you. And if the ironing is simply not on your agenda, then
really isn't.
Chuck it out the window. It really isn't. I happen to love ironing. I find it so fulfilling.
And interestingly, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, which I'd like to share with you all now.
Yeah.
Because I've learned, I get a lot of anxiety over stuff. I don't get anxiety over big stuff. I get anxiety over being overwhelmed about having too much stuff to do.
Yeah.
And that's when I start to get very anxious and very nervy. And then I start to feel bad because I can't manage everything that I've got to do. And it's just a whole spiral. Mm. So what I've learned to do, and this is actually very recent, I have learned to, not the multitasking thing, actually I give periods of time where I keep like one job at a time. Obviously I'm doing my everyday stuff. So I'm doing, yeah, my working, my kids, the house, I'm seeing my friends, I'm going to the gym every day, all of that stuff. That's a rolling thing. That just happens every single day, right? Yeah,
those are the
but
givens.
Those are the givens. But then when I have, like, it was my daughter's 8-year-old birthday last weekend, okay. And I've got an exam that I need to take, and they were happening around the same time. Normally what I try and do is I try and do them at the same time. So then that creates a lot of anxiety, plus all my other stuff that I like to do. So now what I've tried, and then we're going on holiday. I mean, these things aren't big, but I put them all together and I get a little bit stressed out because I can't manage what I need to take on holiday and putting everything together for that, plus my daughter's birthday, plus my exam. So I needed to separate them all out and give them like a few days at a time. And one is not allowed to merge in with the other anymore. I've gotten really boundaried around it. And I've noticed that during this busy period, I've been much calmer.
So you've kind of prioritized your projects, as it were, if we go back to the business analogy.
I've totally prioritized my projects. Yeah. Thank you for bottom lining it. from one thing at a time. And it's actually... I'm actually finding it really, really useful. So for any of you out there that suffer with like the overwhelming anxiety of having too much stuff to do, try just like time framing the bits and pieces one at a time, if that makes any sort of sense.
Yeah, I think it's sensible.
But bringing it back to having it all, I think it's really interesting that it's pointing towards how much more there is to juggle in terms of having it all.
Mm. I think we have to be careful about the juggling, actually, and say you can, in the real world, juggling does let you put things down occasionally, as long as you're careful with them. So a bit like your project prioritization, you can put the birthday plans to one side if you've done the stuff that you need to get done to book the venue or the this or the that the other, and then deal with a little bit of another project and then come back to it. It's safe to put things down. For periods of time. And I think that's really important. So I also get that feeling of total overwhelm when you've just got, it's not even a to-do list. It's a needs to be done now list as long as your arm.
Mine's an I can't breathe.
Yes.
To list. That's what mine is.
I absolutely empathize because I'm the same. I have that overwhelming, I can't breathe, there's too much to do and I've got to do it all now. My husband actually is excellent at saying, you don't have to do it all now. You may have to do it, but you don't have to do it all now. There's a lovely grid that shows you how to deal with your emails if emails overwhelm you. I think you said the other day you couldn't even look at your email, your inbox, because it just had too many emails in it.
I don't read emails
at all. So there's a lovely grid that shows you how to deal with your inbox, but actually it could be just to do with everyday life, which is, it's got an urgent and important box, it's got an urgent and not important box, and it's got a not urgent and not important box, and then it's got a delete box. I think we ought to
love it.
Deal with things like that. So what is urgent and important? X, then do X. The other stuff.
So what's urgent and not important? Like, well, give me an example, because urgent and important seem to go together for me.
Yeah, but I think, so urgent means it has to be done now. So let's say you've got an email from school asking you to select times for parents' evening.
Oh, my God, that I have to say, has got to be the worst email to ever receive. Because also there's a panic that comes along with that email of sheer panic. And like, sometimes, again, I get that I can't. These are the things that I get really anxious about, you see. Because I have to get the time slot that I need. Otherwise, we won't be able to go.
Yeah.
I hate the school email thing. It's just, but that can actually be another podcast in itself. I'm going to bring you back for that one.
School admin. No, I don't want to be on that one again. That is. I'm choosing to not be in that one. So the urgent and important. Urgent because it's got a time frame on it, i.e. you've got to respond by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And important to you because you know that you can't just take any old time. You have to go to the 6 o'clock one because you and your husband can only make that. So that's the urgent and important.
Got it. Urgent and unimportant.
Urgent and unimportant would be something that needs to be done, but it's not important to you. So it could be something in the workplace. Let me have a think. Oh, it could be, so staying with the school analogy, it could be urgent that school's asking you to sign off on a kid going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't feel important to you because actually you don't really mind if they go on the trip or not.
Got it.
And then the others are kind of obvious, not urgent, not important. Well, yeah, they're not urgent and not important.
But that's a really lovely way of actually managing the everyday stuff, isn't it? It kind of puts it into really clear boxes and prioritises what you need to prioritise.
Yeah, it really does. Have we talked about Carolyn McCall yet?
I was literally just about to say, Gemma was telling me this great story just before we jumped on this call. So would you mind sharing it for us again? Because it really does relate back to having it all and what it looks like.
So there's a networking group called Bloom. It's a female networking group, and they have an annual event called Bloomfest, which is lovely, a pretty name. And their guest of honor was the CEO of ITV. It was 2 weeks ago, I think, and she's a lady called Dame Carolyn McCall. I love the fact that her name ends with all, by the way.
It starts with Dame.
Yeah, sure. And I think for this podcast we should be Dame Nicole and Dame Gemma.
I think just generally in life,
we just don't ignited ourselves. I think so Carolyn McCall was asked about the concept of having it all and how she felt about it, and she was very quick to say, actually, do you mind if I read the real quote, Nicole?
Go for it. Lovely. Okay. Thank you.
She said, I have never thought of work and life like that. The concept of having it all just does not exist. I have always liked my work. My family is really important to me, and my friendships are really important too. This sounds like the most sane person that ever walked the planet, doesn't it? She's got three children. She's got an enormous job.
There's no way she's sane.
She's the duck. But that's okay, because she's happy that her legs are spinning and pedaling fast, because what she's understood about herself is that she needs work, family and friends, and she has kept work, family and friends, and she doesn't give a monkey's about having it all or not having it all. She has what she has because she's chosen the important things to her.
And also she doesn't have to think about having it all, because in reality she does.
Well, we think she does.
That's like, you know, when someone says, well, you don't have to think about money if you have it.
Well, arguably people with money think about money more than people who don't have money, I would say. But that's another question. That's another topic, isn't it?
So we've come up with a few podcasts on this one. So Gemma, so let me ask, like, what is your personal version of having it all?
Okay. Over the years I have realized that my career is extremely important to me, But over the years, my career has evolved and changed direction like a roller coaster, really, because what I believed to be my career goals, air quotes, when I was 22, graduating from university, are not necessarily the same now. And they weren't the same 10 years ago when I had my son. What I have done is evolve.
So what are they? I was going to say, what are they now?
My career goals now are, number one, to use my skills on a daily basis in a working environment. Number two, to work only with clients with whom I enjoy being and who I truly believe will accept and use my advice. And number three, I think, that my career must not make me a more stressed version of myself.
I love the little giggle in there. That was so sweet.
Because over the years, and this is really important, over the years I have tried every type of every type of work and every type of childcare going. And I think I have got it right now. I've done the full-time work, nanny, grandma, childcare. I've done the no work for 6 months, which nearly killed me. I've done the very part-time, which just wasn't fulfilling enough for me. I've done everything in, you know, I've had live-in childcare, I've had live-out childcare, I've had no childcare where I've done everything myself and I've had tons of childcare. I've had a full-on big corporate job, tiny little not corporate job. And now I've realised I've got the right balance for me because I'm in control of it. And that's important. So having it all for me is being in control of my career, being available to my children, for my children, at the times that they need me, not the times that I deem myself available. and being able to live a life on top of that, which recently has meant exercising more and seeing my friends more.
Wow. Thank you.
But really important that's not the same for everyone else.
Yeah, and I was just about to point to that. Funnily enough, mine is very similar to yours. And for me, it's about balance.
I hate that word.
Do you?
Yeah.
I love that word. Isn't that funny?
It gives me the heebie-jeebies because
it's not concrete, is it?
No, it's too vague for me and I don't really understand what it means. And I don't think I necessarily have balance, by the way.
So I think balance is always a very movable thing and it's always a changing thing that constantly needs addressing.
Yeah.
And there are some weeks in my life where work takes priority and there are some weeks in my life where my kids take priority and there are some weeks in my life where my friends will take priority. And it's just about what's being thrown up that week and who needs what and where I want to put myself and where I want to be in terms of who I need to help or whatever is happening.
Yeah.
The main priority in my life, as I always say, and this has really helped me in terms of work, is I'm a mum first. I'm always a mother first. So my mum hat will go on before any other hat. And that's actually given me an incredible sense of balance.
Do you always have that from the minute you became a mother, or has that come more recently?
No, that's come through the years. And actually, as my kids get older, I feel like I need to be around more.
Yes.
And I want to be around more. I want to be around more. I've always had a job, you know, I've gone from hairdressing to coaching. So I've always worked for myself. So I've always been able to establish my own hours. So I've never had the issues that you probably once had being in the corporate world. So that's been easier. But having it all, I mean, if you were going to look at me on the outside, you'd probably think that I did, whatever your version of having it all.
Absolutely. And you're the duck as well. You're a swan.
And I really want to point to having it all, like as you beautifully put it, is about creating a life, a full life that works for you. And that is a very personal and individual choice. Because what works for me might not work for my friend down the street. And it might not work for the head of ITV or whoever she is.
Yeah.
You know, we're all women and we're all doing the modern day thing. but and yet our everyday lives probably look and feel completely different.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we have to, every so often, whether it's once a month or once a week or once a year, just have a reality check and a stern talk to ourselves and say, is this working for me now? Even if it worked for me 2 years ago, does it work now? And if it doesn't work now, what needs to change for me to, for it to be working again? I really feel we have a very unrealistic expectation of what a modern woman is supposed to be, because modern is very, very short term at the moment. You know, 50 years ago, that's nothing. 50 years ago, women didn't have choices, really. And now we have everything, and that is, that can be quite toxic. So we have to be careful with having everything. And what I wish for my children, both my daughter and my son, is that over the next 20 years, as they become, you know, emerge from education into the working world and hopefully have families at some point, is that that the message is not that the priority is to advance and at all costs or at any cost, but that instead people should understand what they need to achieve it, or what they want to achieve in their life, and how they can do that for themselves and not for other people.
How lovely. I want that for my kids too. it's a really lovely, I mean, I want that for my kids too, because, and I agree, the pressure that is put on women and men, my God, I see what happens with my husband. You know, the pressure that is put on people today in order to live this full life and have it all.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, you know, for other listeners out there, we are both London women.
Yes.
So we both live in London. Yeah. So we are in the London city bubble. And it's probably different in different parts of the country and different parts of the world, of course. But we are highlighting what city life pretty much is like. Sorry, I totally lost my thread.
Should I nip in with pressure, talking about pressure?
I'll tell you what just happened, because I just looked at my phone. And you see, this is what, you know, I'm sitting here doing a lovely podcast, having a moment, and someone just... It's so boring.
Was it a parents' evening email?
I had something written. Okay, now I have to. I had something written in my diary for next Monday, and I didn't know what it meant. Right? I didn't know what it meant. And then a text has just come through saying, what happened with whatever it said in my diary? And I was like, and it's just clicked of what that meant in my diary. So actually, that's lovely. That's all coming together. But none of you needed to be a part of that. So go on. Yes, please.
I was going to talk about pressure. So I'm guilty of putting immense pressure on myself. So I can talk very level-headedly and very clearly about making my choices and having chosen my career now and working with great people, etc., etc. But honestly, Nicole, and you know this from other conversations we've had, I put the most insane amount of pressure on myself. I hope to God that I do not do that to my children. I'm taking action not to, because I think it's awful that I do it to myself. I certainly wouldn't want to do it to anyone else. And I really need to shake myself off sometimes and take a leaf out of my business book and take a leaf out of what I say on the outside and just say, hang on a sec, stop. You may think it needs to be perfect, but it doesn't. You may think it needs to be done yesterday, but maybe tomorrow's okay. And just be kinder to myself about this having it all nonsense, because what is all? All is, if there's a pot of pie, if you eat it all, it's very clear, black and white. Is there any left or is there none left? Having it all in our world means really nothing, because what is
well,
all?
Well, it means it's what you put as having it all. So by not having it, you know, you are totally, and we are totally in control and in charge of what it all is. And going back to what we said before, having it all, for me, that's why I love the word balance in there, because it is about balance for me. And it means that having all the elements of life that I absolutely adore and enjoy, and all the elements that fulfill me, is having all of that in my life in some way. And sometimes it's less and sometimes it's more than others. And that to me is having it all.
Yeah. So that's, again, choice, isn't it? What works for me today may not work tomorrow, so then I can change it. And it's all my prerogative.
And I love what you said before, because it takes a constant kind of designing it with yourself of and saying to yourself, okay, this wasn't working 2 years ago. Is this working today? And we get to do that on a daily basis. Okay, so yesterday I wanted to be in the gym for an hour and a half. Do I have the time to do that today? No, I don't. Mm. So it's always about balancing it and keeping it. For me, it's about it being fluid and keeping it flowing rather than getting stuck in the, oh, I haven't been to the gym today and I haven't spent 3 hours with my kids and I haven't read her a story and I haven't, you know, and I haven't written the blog that I was supposed to write.
Yeah.
That nothing grows in that energy.
No, nothing grows in that energy. And in fact, it can be very poisonous because it just eats away at you. And if you allow it to creep in, then that guilt, that pressure, that should have feeling is poisonous. And you become less efficient. And my priority in life is to be as efficient as I possibly can.
And that's part of your having it all, right? Yes. Is efficiency.
Yes.
So you see how already they're so different.
Yeah.
You and me are so different. I don't want efficiency. Efficiency really pisses me off. And all my friends, my mother will definitely agree with that. I found this quote when I was just doing a bit of prep for this call, which I'd really like to share with you. And it says, I put having it all meaning on Google because I just wanted to see what came up. And it says, live it. You need to decide for yourself what having it all, air quotes, means to you. Mm. You have to have your own personal definition of success. When we decide on success, when we know what having it all means, then we can make our choices.
Mm. Deep.
Mm.
It's good. It's a good one. I think we must not be swayed by what other people tell us. So I've got friends who would never claim they had it all because of the connotations of having it all in our lives, but they're perfectly happy. I envy those people sometimes because they seem to have a much simpler world and their legs pedal much less furiously and they may look a little less serene, but they're still living a bloody good life.
I will never, ever forget, and I tell my friend this, years and years ago when I had my two babies and I was working on a very popular TV show at the time, plus I was running my hair salon. Mm-hmm. And I had a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old at home. And I was at the studios in London every single day. Mm-hmm. And I remember going round on a play date in the morning to my friend who didn't work at the time. Mm. And she'd baked cookies that morning. And I walked in and the house smelled of cookies. And she was calm and she was in a tracksuit. And I was like all pissed up, ready to run to the studios, ready to dump my kids off at the next childminder. And I was stressed out because I couldn't fit in all my clients. And I was just juggling so many things. And I wasn't enjoying any of it. I was a wreck. Mm. And I remember walking into this woman, looking at her with the baked smell in her house, knowing that she was going to get to simply put her kids to bed and cry because I felt such envy that she'd chosen for herself. Hello.
Hi, again. Nicole.
We got a little bit cut off. I don't know what happened there.
Technology.
Did you hear the end of my... I was telling the end of my story.
I heard you crying at this cookie smell from your friend.
I was just so in awe of the simple choices that she'd made for herself and that she got to put her kids to bed and she got to read them a story and she got to just be chilled and be calm and enjoy. She was just so happy and so, you know, she was just enjoying all parts of her life. And it was the part that I looked at myself and thought, what is all this running around for? What's it worth? And that was the moment where really I started to think about balance and getting a bit more balance in my life.
I get that. Again, very easy to look at somebody and think how brilliantly they're doing and what excellent choices they make. She may, I don't know her and I wasn't there, but she may have looked at you and thought, look at this super career girl. Off she's been to work, leaving her babies happily at home. And then she's come back and here I'm going to give her a cookie and she looks fab and I'm a bit envious of that. You know, you just never know, do you?
But again, that's just the comparison.
Sure.
Monkey coming in, isn't it? And all it did was highlight to me that my life was out of balance and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to create something more positive for my kids and for myself.
Yes. I think what we haven't touched on, by the way, is that this notion of perfection, there isn't, it doesn't exist. It's like the carrot that you can never ever reach. So perfect body, perfect mind, perfect job, perfect relationship, perfect children, perfect setup, perfect holidays. It's nonsense. And we have to just slap ourselves metaphorically around the face sometimes and say, or maybe not metaphorically, and say, it's not real. It doesn't exist. This, and we haven't talked about social media either, which just fuels all of that. We've got to be so careful with ourselves not to strive for something unattainable, unrealistic, or unfair. Again, that's toxic. And so I'm very clear, for example, in my work life that I don't work for the biggest business. My business is just me. And how derogatory that I said just. I should just say my business is me. And
how different that is.
It's so different, isn't it? My business is me. I don't work for the biggest corporates in the world, but I work for great people running great businesses. And I hope that they think I do great work that everybody should be proud of. And what would I be striving for if I said what I have isn't enough? Am I striving to work for the biggest brands because they're recognizable? Because when it's easier to explain what you do, am I striving to be someone that other people look at and are impressed by?
Well, it doesn't sound like it anymore.
No, it doesn't. But I do always have that little thing on my shoulder. The little devil, career devil, saying, are you doing what you should be doing in your working world? Because I went to a school where I was told I not only could I have everything, but I should have everything. And that's even worse.
Well, you went to the same school as my sister.
And by the way, I had a great time and I never felt an ounce of pressure there. I should really be very clear about that. I loved my school. I loved my school life. I didn't feel pressure, but looking back, I wonder if some foundations of that little thing on my shoulder saying, are you doing enough in your career, came from that feeling of you can do it all. But no one told us at school.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt you there. And I'm really sorry, because what you've just touched on, the are you doing enough?
Mm.
And I find it interesting that you've only got a career.
So I think that
is quite universal for women. Are you this little devil on the shoulder tapping you, saying, "Are you doing enough? Are you doing enough? Are you doing enough ironing? Mm-hmm. Are you doing enough coaching?
The ironing.
I actually do get someone else to do the ironing, but it was just something that came up earlier, I keep referring back to it. Because it's just, you know, necessity of the domestic stuff that has to happen in the house.
Yeah.
And I have the, are you doing enough with every aspect of my life, whether it be my exercise, my healthy eating, my parenting. Oh my God, my parenting.
Oh, let's not. That's another one as well.
I mean, again, that's for another topic, but it's all based on, are you doing enough? And you know what my answer is nowadays, because I'm so aware of this devil on my shoulder tapping me, are you doing enough? It's just like, yeah. In this moment, I am doing enough, and that's going to have to do.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, isn't it? In this moment. In this moment, is it enough? And gosh, my husband's brilliant at saying it's enough about his own world. You know, if he wants to sit on the couch and watch television after dinner and cancel out all of the other stuff on his to-do list, because men have to-do lists too, then he says, yeah, I'm going to do that. Whereas I will be zipping around the house doing 1,000 other things and then up on my laptop working till 1 o'clock in the morning, which, by the way, is not advisable at all, to peddle away. And why shouldn't I make that choice that I've done enough today? I'm going to sit down and watch Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, so I have a challenge for you.
Oh, gosh, I knew there'd be one of those.
Well, you've kind of set it for yourself. So tonight, are you listening, listeners? Because I'm going to tell you whether she's done it or not. Tonight, I want you to sit in front of the TV, and with any challenge, you can say yes, no, or counter offer.
Ooh,
I want you. I want you can always counter offer. Yes, I want you to sit in front of the TV at 8:30 once your kids are in bed, whatever time they go to bed, and watch 2 episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Are you going to do your ironing?
No.
No,
No, it's more, are you not going to do your ironing?
I'm not doing my ironing.
I like the challenge.
Yes.
I like the challenge. Is it going to happen?
Or your counter offer could be a night that you can do it.
Yeah, okay. So I could maybe do it tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, I could maybe do it tomorrow. It's not, by the way, because I don't want to, but there is a bit of an element of, oh, I've got so little. It's like that kind of proud, blabbermouth person that says, oh, I just simply haven't had time to sit down. Is that a good thing? There was an article in the Times a few months ago about why do we look so gleeful when we say we just simply haven't got time to do that?
It's
why
a not? Status symbol. We use it as a status symbol. Yeah. It's like a form of I'm so busy allows us to have more importance in some way.
Mm.
Because I used to do this I'm so busy nonsense all the time. Yeah. And it made me feel, I don't know, more self-important.
Yeah.
And now when I hear myself saying it, I just want to like slap myself metaphorically around the face, as you beautifully said. And guys, for all of you listening, you know, in terms of the challenge that I just gave to Gemma, think of something that you want to challenge for yourself in terms of just putting all the stuff down. Just put it down for a minute and allow yourself. And as Gemma said, just show some kindness. You know, and what can be in that challenge that will allow you to show some kindness to yourself? So in Gemma's case, it was, you know, Grey's Anatomy, because that's a program that she loves to watch. So just have a think about what you can bring for yourself.
Mm. Can I just say one more thing, Nicole?
Of course.
This came from my lovely 23-year-old Floridian cousin who's staying with me this week. She's full of pearls of wisdom. She said to me that sometimes she can be really, really unkind about the way she looks to herself. And she said she woke up one morning and said to herself, if I said some of these things out loud to another person, that person would never talk to me again. So how dare I say them to myself?
Yeah.
And that was powerful, coming from someone I term my baby cousin. Not so babyish after all, pretty switched on. We must be kind to ourselves. Stop saying have it all. Say have what you want. Can I have what I want?
I love the reframe on that. And that's what I was going to say, is it's not about what you stop saying, but it's about what you continue to say and change the message into something that allows you to embrace yourself and feel good about yourself.
Yes. We should try to feel better about ourselves all the time, I think.
I mean, I am a massive, as you know, a massive advocate of that, because we're very good at making ourselves feel bad. So what is it you can walk away with saying, Gemma, that will help you feel better about this having it all nonsense?
I think I'm going to try and listen to my own advice, which is stop saying have it all and do it all perfectly, and start saying have what you want and what's available to you that makes you feel good. And do it to the level that is acceptable to you and the people you're doing it for. And that's enough. And enough is good enough.
Enough is good enough. Okay, everyone write that down, please. Enough is good enough. Gemma, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. You've been, as I always knew you would be, you've been totally amazing and open-hearted. And I really do appreciate your time. So thank you.
I've loved it. Thank you very much for having me.
Will you come back?
I will, but not about school admin, Nicole.
I might. Okay. We'll come up with something, but you've got to come back.
I will.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you. And to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So there we go. Having it all, really what it comes down to is whatever works for you and how you want your life to run. And I loved all the things that Gemma brought to this, and I really do hope you enjoyed the recording too. Let's stop with the comparison monkeys. Let's stop with the perfectionism. Having it all is just whatever works for us and how we want our life to be and what fulfills us and makes us happy, regardless of what your friend down the street is doing and how serene they look as a duck. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what brings you joy and peace and calm and happiness and all the things that you want for yourself. If you guys want to get in touch, please feel free to email me at nicole@nicolegoodman.co.uk. You can find me on Instagram at nicolegoodman_lifecoach. Feel free to DM me of any topics that you would like to hear in the future. I hope to hear from you all. Please stay in touch. Please follow me so you can stay up to date with all the future podcasts are coming up. I promote it more on Instagram than anywhere else. So please come find me. And I look forward to speaking with you all again very soon. Thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. And remember, do what makes you happy.